following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author of his brand new book, The Supremes at Earl's, All You Can Eat, Edward Kelsey Moore. Edward, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right, The Supremes at Earl's, All You Can Eat. Is this about The Supremes, that great singing group that we've known for all our lives?
It is not. It's the story of three women from a small town in southern Indiana who've been friends all of their lives. And it's essentially about 1 year in their lives, and a lot of stuff happens to them, and they relive a lot of things that have happened over those 40 years.
Plainville, Indiana, I believe, is where this is set.
It's a Plainview.
Plainview.
And there is a Plainville somewhere, but this is a fictional town in southern Indiana. And it's sort of a mixture of Bloomington, Indiana, where I went to college, and a little town called Summervale, Kentucky, that my mother's family had a farm in. And we used to visit there when I was a kid. And I have these memories of it that I'm sure I have completely made up, because it's way too long ago for me to really have a clear memory. But we used to go down there and have these big picnics out in these fields. And I sort of combine the two towns to make Plainview.
The Supremes at Earl's, All You Can Eat. This book is about three of the best friends that you could ever have, and they meet at Earl's All You Can Eat diner?
They meet there every weekend. They've been doing that for about 40 years. And they meet every weekend after church on Sundays and a few other times just to hang out. And the man who started the restaurant, Big Earl, is sort of the central character, although he isn't around through much of the book. And he has had a great influence on the lives of all of the characters in the book. And the book is a lot about how one person's life impacts another's, and how the things we do, both good and bad, can sometimes reverberate for many, many years.
When we get to the first chapter, there's quite the hook in there. We're looking at Odette.
And she wakes up one morning with a hot flash, and she goes to her kitchen to get a glass of water and a little snack. And she runs into her mother in the kitchen. Her mother gives her a surprise visit. Her mother also gives her some surprise news. Her mother tells her that Big Earl McIntyre, the proprietor of Earl's, that Earl's All You Can Eat, died. And Odette is very surprised to hear this, because she had just seen Big Earl just, you know, several hours earlier at the All You Can Eat. But her mother is not the most reliable person. She's a little odd, and one of her oddities is that she has been talking mostly with dead people for many, many years. And but she gets things wrong a lot. So Odette has got some doubts about her mother's story.
You know what I loved about the Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat is the Southern women here in this book. Even though Southern Indiana, not really in the Deep South or anything, but just reading this with mind's eye, I'm looking at, and as I'm reading it out loud, I've got that draw going on, and I just love the way that you wrote that.
Well, thank you. You know, if you go down to Southern Indiana and you talk to people, you hear that draw. You know, there's a thin line between Southern Indiana and Northern Kentucky, and you hear that cadence, and there's a way that the people have of speaking to one another, and especially the way that good storytellers have of talking to one another. And that's really what inspired the book, was hearing the way that mostly my mom's family, the women in my mom's family, talk to each other. And I would hang out and listen to them talking, especially after, you know, like after Thanksgiving dinner, and after the men had gone off to watch sports and the other kids had gone off to play. I loved to sit and listen to my mom and the other women in the family talk, you know, after they'd cleared the table and all this, they'd return to it. And that's when you heard the really good stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And they were great storytellers.
And I think that, you know, the voice, the cadence, that does make for a great storyteller. And I was thinking of that also when I was reading this, that you must tell a lot of stories out loud in order to capture that.
Well, I do. I talk a lot. and I always have. My mother always tells the story of how I started talking, you know, sort of freakishly early. Before I was 7 months old, I could talk, you know, long before I could walk. I wasn't making full sentences. I wasn't that unusual. But I could imitate words, you know. You could say a word to me and I could spout it back to you when I was very, very young. And my mother says I haven't shut up since. So I really love telling stories. And I love hearing them also. You know, a lot of people have asked me why or how I wrote a book that is largely from the point of view of three women. And I think the reason for that is just that I heard so many great storytellers who were women when I grew up. And I had a great aunt named Olitha, who was probably the best storyteller I've ever heard in my life. And she could just have you enthralled for hours, just telling you these wonderful stories. And she especially loved going to funerals. So she could tell you a story about a funeral. She'd imitate everybody and she'd tell you, you know, what everybody was wearing. And especially if she didn't approve, she could really go on. And it was just hilarious. And this woman's telling you, you know, these hilarious stories about funerals, and you would just cry, laugh with laughter. And so those are the kind of storytellers I grew up with, these people who could make anything sound absolutely hilarious, but they could also, you know, change on a dime and just tell you a story that would break your heart. I love those kinds of stories, and that's really what inspired the Supremes, is that kind of storytelling.
I was going to say, in the Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat, that's pretty much like this book is. It's laugh out loud funny, and yet it'll pull at your heartstrings in other places.
Yeah, that's what I hope I hope the reader experiences that they get that feeling of what it's like to live a real life. And one of the things that I really believe is that people who have survived something difficult tend to have a sense of humor. If a difficult experience of life doesn't ruin you, then usually you can laugh about it to some degree at some point. And I think that that's one of the things that helps us to survive things.
You know, Edward, you were mentioning that you heard a lot of, that you had some family, the women telling the stories. When I was reading this, I was thinking Garrison Keillor. I was thinking John Boy Walton, of course. You know, he was the older Walton there telling his story, such as this is in the Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat, in my mind's eye. Actually, that's kind of how I felt with that. Now, this story, of course, you start off with the first lady in this and her mother. Of course, you're going to talk about the other ladies also in the coming chapters with their own voice.
There's Clarice and Barbara Jean are the other two Supremes. They got their nickname back in the 60s. It was, you know, from the musical group, of course. And because they were never seen apart after a certain point, so they started calling them the Supremes. And Barbara Jean is a very beautiful woman who married a very wealthy man, but she had a very troubled life, had a mother who had a substance abuse problems, and she grew up in a very, very difficult situation. And Clarice is a very talented pianist who has to deal with a very, very... what's a good word for him? I think because her husband, Richmond, I think of him as a very nice guy, but people who've read the book don't seem to have too much affection for Richmond. He's a very difficult man to live with. He's had a sort of a roving eye for all of their relationship, and Clarice is trying to deal with that and still deal with it in the context of her very conservative religious beliefs. So the three of them are sort of facing a lot of things, and their health crises and marital crises that happened to them over the course of a year, and they are all looking back at what got them to this point, and looking for a way out.
With the book, The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat, what was the challenge with this book, especially with three women telling things from their point of view?
Well, the big challenge was making sure that the women were, that they each had a very unique voice, and that I didn't start to put my point of view, you know, in place of theirs. The only Odette's chapters, well, only her voice is in first person, although it's from the point of view of each of the women in their sort of, in their, when they tell their stories, it is from their point of view, but it is only in first person when Odette is telling her stories, because she has kind of a special view of the world. And I wanted her to be able to describe that herself. But I think the real challenge is just sort of making sure that that the characters remain true to themselves throughout the book.
With your book, as you're writing it, of course, you have to keep everything in a certain continuity. Is that kind of tough sometimes as a writer? Because you're saying, you know, you're the typewriter writing this. But does your mind wander and you say, ooh, for an upcoming chapter or something? Does your mind wander? And
my mind wanders all the time. Not just when I'm writing. But yeah, this is my first book. So the big challenge for me was finding some kind of form to give it continuity. I had written a number of short stories before. I needed a way to have sort of that overriding arc throughout the story. And I had a lot of trouble with that at first. And what I ended up doing, you know, I've had many years of working as a cellist. And so I figured the forms I know well are musical forms. And I really thought about musical forms when I was writing the book, because I, you know, didn't have training as a writer, and so to really think about modeling it after, you know, some established literary forms was a bigger challenge for me. So I really thought about it in terms of music. I thought about how, you know, great composers construct a symphony, and I tried to sort of give it that kind of shape. And it really helped me a lot. And, you know, I don't know if anybody reading the book would say, oh, this is like sonata form, but I kind of hope they wouldn't, actually. But it is one of the things that I thought about when writing the book, to try and give it some sort of shape.
When I was reading this, I was reading it out loud because I loved it so much. I love to try to do the accents that I saw in this book. And musically, I mean, you kind of maybe have to have that flow musically to be able to read it out loud, would you say, or not?
I do think so. You know, but I think that's important just in general. I really enjoy reading books that feel like someone is speaking to me. You know, whether I'm reading it out loud or just hearing it in my head, I love that feeling. I love storytelling. So I love that feeling of someone telling me a story. There's a rhythm to that. And when you see it on the page and you feel it and you start to go with it, it's very, very exciting.
Of course, Earl, he passes away, but there's no body yet that we can tell, just maybe a ghost. And Mom, I think she's got kind of a habit also that maybe if she did enough of this habit, she might see ghosts.
Yeah, you know, she's a free spirit, Mama. So, you know, Mama has been treating her glaucoma. Even though she does not have glaucoma, she's been treating it for many, many years. And she says it's a preventative regimen. And she's also quite a gardener. So she has been able to raise her own medication.
You know what? It's kind of funny because people do that, not necessarily with, well, maybe things you can grow also, but with vitamins and other things. I mean, that's a preventative measure right there, I guess.
There you go. It's, you know, joking aside, there is the only recreational drug use in the book is done by living people. But I do take a stand, or at least let me rephrase that. My characters take a stand about medical marijuana use in the book. I certainly agree with them. So there's that. It is not a book, you know, it's full of wanton use of drugs, but
just a little part there.
Just Mama, a little bit.
Yeah, when Mama was younger, she got into some trouble, but it was going to be hush hush.
Yes,
but you know how it is in a small town.
There you
right?
go. When she was younger and when she was older, she got she's a character.
Yes, she is. You know, I think you have a lot of characters in here. Some of this book, I think, you have the funny things like talking about Mama. Mm-hmm. She gets caught. How many kids when you're younger get caught with something like marijuana? Mm-hmm. And, somebody sends you home and, we're going to keep it hush-hush. All of a sudden, everybody knows. That's funny. Yeah. Now, that's some funny stuff. In the book, does funny stuff come naturally to you, or how does that work?
I think so. I love a good joke, and I like funny people. People who can make themselves laugh and make you laugh along with them. And humor tends to be the way that I process things. Especially, when things aren't going so well for me, I tend to try and find something funny in what's going on, because usually that helps things, if you can kind of take a step back from the difficulties of your life and say, I bet in a month this is going to be funny, maybe not right now, but, this is going to be a laugh riot in June, so.
Edward, let me find out here. Of course, your first book, first time, basically, author. You've had some smaller stories out mm-hmm. there, and I'm sure they were published and everything.
Yes.
What's the challenge, I guess, of being a first-time author? People really haven't heard of Edward Kelsey Moore. If they have, not much. The Supremes at Earls, All You Can Eat. I mean, it's a fantastic book, I think. People should be picking that up and reading it.
Thank you.
From what I understand, I'm sure people are. What's that like as a first-time author?
It's a little overwhelming, to be honest. I've had a long buildup, between writing the novel and the novel being published. There's been quite a few years, actually. But now I've found, even though I've had this long buildup, everything's a bit of a surprise. This is my first time doing all of this, and I'm amazed by so many things. A lot of it, though, is just wonderful. I've met some incredible people. And I've had these adventures that I never thought I would have. And right now, now that the book has come out and I was, I had a wonderful experience with, having it debut on the New York Times bestseller list, I never dreamed of that. And just, there these people who have written to me, it's been incredible. It's been a lot of it very, very touching. And I honestly hadn't even thought about that. I think maybe when you write, you don't think so much about readers, you hope you're going to get them, but you don't really think about, oh yeah, I'm going to write this and people are going to read it and they're going to tell me that they love it. That's at least I didn't think of it that way. Maybe other writers do, but having readers who aren't members of my family, talk to me and tell me that the book has meant something to them has been absolutely incredible. And having just the experience of being able to talk to you, being able to talk to other people about the book, I didn't expect any of this. So it's been a real treat.
So what's it take to write a good short story? And then what does it take to write a novel like your brand new book, The Supremes at Earls, All You Can Eat?
Well, I was surprised by how little I was prepared for writing a novel. I thought that, oh yeah, I've written a lot of short stories. I'd had the, good fortune of having several of them published. I kind of thought, okay, well, it's like writing 30 of them. And it's really not, actually. And when I sat down to write the book, it was really quite overwhelming. So I did have to, ultimately though, I did have to think of it in small increments, of course. Not as if I were telling, a short story per chapter, but just telling parts of the story and trying to tell it in a way that makes the reader want to go to the next chapter. So it was a challenge, and I certainly, at the beginning of it, had no idea what I was going to end up with. And luckily, the characters sort of took me along for a ride. And
I've never thought of that before. Producing each chapter as a short story, I guess that you would... Did you script any of this out before or not?
I absolutely did. Even with my short stories, I write an outline. But I will say, though, what I end up with is never what I had in the outline. Not step by step, at least. I had an idea of who the three women were, Odette, Barbara Jean, and Clarice, and what I thought was going to happen to them over the course of the story. And I made a nice detailed outline of everything. And then, you know, I would get to a certain point and I'd go, these people would not do this. Or, you know, I had these wonderful things that I imagined they would do and say at these different moments. And ultimately, I had to recognize that, no, this is not really going to work. I needed to move it around. And then, though, the characters, though, had become so vivid to me at that point that they really helped me to guide them to the place they were, you know, that they were going to go anyway. So it really helped.
So did you have to throw out some of your best lines, or did you have to just move them around?
Absolutely. There's, you know, there's a infinitely funnier and more touching book that I didn't write. So it's, yeah, but you know, that's the thing. It's like, it's heartbreaking sometimes, you know, to give up a line that you really think is just so clever. And, you know, but ultimately if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And, there are a number of those, and hopefully I'll get to use one or two of them again sometime.
That's what I was going to say. You could save them for probably another book.
I have a file with these lines that I think make me look like a genius, but you know that maybe no one will ever read.
Well, this one here took several years to do, but this next one, it only took a year.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So a couple years on this book. You have a mm-hmm. brand new book in mind. Are you already on one?
I'm working on a new book now. And it's...
If you told me about it, you'd have to kill me, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know? But yeah, I'm having a good time with it. I'm at that point where I think I know what's going to happen. Of course, you know, that's going to be worthless. But, and I've got some great lines in there that, that I'm also sure are going to be in there in the final cut. But we'll see what happens.
With the book, The Supreme... At Earl's, All You Can Eat, did you know the beginning and the end? How do you work? Do you just have an end point and you work towards it?
Well, I knew what I thought would be the beginning. Well, I knew the beginning.
We're not going to tell you the end, though.
Thank you. I certainly knew the beginning, and I thought I knew the end. And so I thought I knew exactly what was going to happen to each of these women, but ultimately something different happened for each of them. And I like where they ended up, but it is not where I had planned. And I think that's part of the adventure of writing, that you know that you get to just that you get to make stuff up, you know, and just let it happen. That's a real treat to me.
Edward, I fell in love with these ladies. Are they going to be around in another book by chance?
Well, the new book does continue one aspect of the story. And I like these ladies too. I spend a lot of time with them now, and I really enjoy them. And I do hope to write a little bit more about them in the future. Yeah.
A lot of authors say that my characters come to life and I hear them. And did that happen to you?
You know, I used to. You know, I've heard a lot of authors say that too, and I used to think they were lying. And I used to think, oh yeah, they just want to sound artsy, you know. But much to my surprise, that kind of is what happens, you know. You start writing about them, and you live with them so much of the time, and they're, you know, you're talking to them, and you're thinking about, you know, what would she do, or what would he do, and you end up thinking of them the same way you think of a family member, and they do end up coming to life. And that was a surprise to me, I've got to say. You know, when I was writing short stories, you know, you live with a short story for a shorter period of time, usually. So I didn't have that experience that, you know, of the characters really feeling like they were, you know, sort of autonomous beings. But with the novel, it definitely felt that way.
The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat, the brand new book by Edward Kelsey Moore. Edward, if I want more information on this book, maybe I can even read a chapter someplace. Where could I go? Where could I find out more information?
Well, you can go to my website at edwardkelseymoore.com.
All right. When we get to that website, what are we going to see?
Oh, you're going to see loads of pictures of me. And you're going to read some things about the book, find out about the history of the book. You can also encounter some interviews with me and... things like that. A lot of fun things.
All right. And of course, your schedule has to be up there for us. You know, if I'm in a city someplace, I want to see. I can find out if you're going to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, my schedule's up on the website, and I'm certainly hoping that I'll get to see as many people as possible. It's a real treat to meet people who've read the book and who haven't read the book and are just curious.
All right. Well, if you're curious, The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat is a fantastic book. You're going to fall in love with the ladies, Odette, Clarice, Barbara. Poor Earl, is he dead? Well, you're going to have to read the book. I mean, Mama saw him, but she sees ghosts. Edward, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Edward Kelsey Moore, author of his brand new book, The Supremes at Earl's, All You Can Eat. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.